What's going on, everyone? And good morning. Today is Thursday, October 31st. Happy Halloween. I hope all of you are likely, probably not celebrating, but I hope you all are enjoying it, whether it was this past weekend, whether it's taking your kids out tonight. Happy Halloween, everybody. This is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And man, do we have a jam-packed daily pod for you today, as is normally the case on Wednesday, because we heard from Nick Sirianni. We heard from Jalen Hurts. We heard about them golfing with Obama. They talked about the offense. And it's time to start previewing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Combine all that with a pretty loaded injury report, and we got a lot to get into today. So let's get this started so I don't hold you too long on your morning commute. What to keep an eye out for today? So today is actually a big day because of who is on the injury report, but 2:15 practice begins. The Eagles currently have five starters that were either did not practice or limited in yesterday's practice. So hopefully we get a better indication of how those guys are doing today. So at 2:15, practice begins. Keep an eye out from your various favorite beat reporter to see who is there and who is not. That'll be our first indication. And then at 4:20, the locker room opens. That'll be a chance to hopefully talk to some of these guys, see how they're feeling, see how if they're in there, how they're moving, all those different things. So big day for from an injury perspective, because if these guys that didn't practice on Wednesday don't practice today, That's not a good look. So who are these players I'm talking about? The injury report, absolutely loaded with starters. So Jalen Carter and Landon Dickerson are both on there, surprisingly. Jalen Carter with a shoulder injury, Landon Dickerson with a knee injury. Neither of them practiced. Darius Slay was on there with a groin injury. He did not practice. Dallas Goedert did not practice due to the hamstring. Limited in practice, Mekhi Becton due to a concussion. For him, it's a good sign he even practiced at all. That means, you know, he's moving through the concussion protocol. He did not speak to reporters since he is still in the protocol, but he was in the locker room. And, you know, from the outside looking in, it looked like he was in good spirits. So hopefully there is some hope there that he will play on Sunday. But Jalen Carter, Landon Dickerson, Dallas Goedert, and Darius Slay, not a good thing that all those guys are on the injury report. Now, they do play a bad Jaguars team this week. Not that this team is really in any shape to just be overlooking anybody, considering they just themselves got out of a bad stretch of playing. But, man, no Jalen Carter, no Landon Dickerson if they're unable to go. Obviously, we know how important Jalen Carter is. That interior of the Jaguars line is actually pretty good, so the Eagles will need their good players to try to get pressure on Trevor Lawrence. Landon Dickerson, the Jaguars have good edge players. Obviously, it doesn't impact Dickerson as much, but you would think if, you know, they want to lend help to the tackle, whatever they want to do, you want to have your best offensive lineman against this Jaguars defensive front. And then I don't think Darius Slay is going to play. It's possible, but my guess is he won't be out there. Isaiah Rodgers will probably be out there in his place. And then Dallas Goedert, we'll have to see. I think there's a chance he does play this week. I wouldn't say it's 100%, but I think there's, you know, a somewhat decent chance. So him not practicing today, not good, but we'll see if he's out there on Thursday. So yeah, that's where the Eagles' injuries are at. We'll have a better idea of that today, but obviously if they're missing Jalen Carter, Landon Dickerson, Dallas Goedert, and Darius Slay, yeah, that matters when it comes to this game on Sunday. So let's get into what happened at the NovaCare Complex on Wednesday. As always, the day started with Nick Sirianni speaking about a number of different topics, but one that I thought really stood out from him talking today was he talked about Jalen Hurts going through his reads. You know, I think one criticism of Jalen, and fairly so, is that sometimes he can get stuck on his first read and he doesn't stay in the pocket long enough to go through all of his reads, or he's not great at maybe like the progression of going through them. That is certainly what the public perception of Jalen is. Nick talked about that today, and here's what Nick had to say.
That's just the you know, him getting through his read and getting to the guy that's open. Again, you always want to be on attack and you always want to go to where you want to throw the ball, but that's not the reality of playing quarterback. And so, you know, I thought it was really good. Like, I thought what he did really well, particularly in this game, is like when he had that time, like I think there was one that he hit AJ over the middle that he had to hold on to and let the second window clear. That doesn't happen without the protection of the offensive line and the run action of the running back and the quarterback. And so, and then just from that, it's just something that, you know, we've seen him do, and you know, particularly in practice. I know last week he got down to his check down multiple times, and then it showed up. It's awesome when it shows up in the game. I just think, again, he's playing quarterback at a high level. Playing quarterback at a high level is not just, you know, throwing the ball accurate. It's going the right place with the ball, and the right place with the ball could be their third or fourth read.
So I think one thing that's really stuck out in my head, at least with Jalen recently, is when he was struggling early in the year, and me and James talked about this a bunch, as well as I talked about on WIP. I think there was a rush to say, you know, okay, he's not it. Or, you know, like, okay, this is another Carson Wentz. And maybe it will be. Maybe he won't turn out to be the quarterback that wins his team a Super Bowl. Maybe he won't turn out to be the franchise guy for 4 or 5 years. But I think there was a rush because of how quickly it fell apart with Carson to say that he wasn't the guy. I've certainly been critical of Jalen. The turnovers, the pocket presence, the arm strength at times. But what I've always said is that the difference between Jalen and Carson is Jalen is not injured and didn't have to deal with the Nick Foles drama, whereas Carson did. And so as you start to see games like this past Sunday, I believe it was a throw to AJ, where you can see him sit in the pocket. He's like kind of bouncing in the pocket, and you can see he goes from one side of the field to the other, and he finds AJ. Like, he'll get better at that stuff. I don't think he is unable or incapable of doing it. Like, I think Jalen does have a really good football mind. I think Jalen puts in a ton of work. But it's a different skill set to actually be out on the field and go through your reads quickly. You can have the best football mind in the world, and it's just like a processing thing. Now, the more he sees and the more he does it, the easier it'll be to process because he'll be more aware of what he's looking at. But I think, you know, when Nick talks about like the hard work and things like that, it matters. And I think that Jalen, you know, if he stays healthy and he keeps on this track he's going, I think there's plenty of reason to feel optimistic about Jalen. I think, and you know, there's a world where Jalen is playing his best football he ever has right now because of all his pre-snap responsibility. And when he's not turning the ball over, this is probably the best version of Jalen we have seen. But another big takeaway that a lot of people talked about coming off of Sunday was that the offense is looking a lot different, and that, you know, that they've made a bunch of changes. So Brian Baldinger, obviously a football guru of Baldy's breakdowns of various things. I mean, he's been one of the best and most important football analysis voices in media over the past few years. Also, obviously close to the Eagles, works out with Lane Johnson. Like, he's around the Eagles. Tweeted out today that Eagles players essentially went to coaches and asked for a change because they were, I believe he used the word frustrated, but they weren't happy with how the offense was working. So he tweeted, Brian Baldinger, a few guys were tired of the offense and spoke up. And this is in response to somebody asking him, why did it take 8 weeks to do this? Because Baldy had tweeted out, the Eagles' use of play action passes really helped with the rhythm and timing of his throws. The receivers love it, and the offensive line are thankful for it. And at that point, he's asked, any idea why it took him 8 weeks to do it? And he says, a few guys were tired of the offense and spoke up. So Baldinger, of all, you know, great, always great to have Baldy on, but of all the days to have Baldy on, Baldy was on the WIP afternoon show with Ike Reese, Spike Eskin, and Jack Fritz, and he was asked about it. And here's what he had to say.
I think some of the things are pretty obvious. You know, I mean, the quarterback, when he's in, you know, look, Jalen had a great game, but he threw it, he had 20 passes. And the ball came out on time, in large part because the routes and the play action timed up really good. So if you watch some of the plays I put out there and more than that, I mean, you know, he's hitting his back step, he's hitching, he's throwing it on timing. And even the touchdown to Devontae, I mean, it's a deep ball, but, you know, it's on play action. He's taking a deep set, sets his feet, and he throws. And when he plays like that, I don't care if he's throwing the middle of the field, if he's throwing down the sideline, I mean, he's a good deep ball thrower. And so he's not holding it and running around. And I think some of those things got tightened up with the play action pass game.
So I wasn't around or able to ask any players that I think would have an answer to that today. Maybe later in the week there'll be that opportunity. Jalen Hurts talked a little bit about the perception the offense changed, which I'll play for you in just a second. But I thought it was interesting that Baldy mentioned like the timing of the throws, getting the ball out quickly, getting the offense more in rhythm. I think that's part of it. Now, is that a scheme thing? Maybe. Maybe they're running different plays that the whole offense is more comfortable in running, so they're able to get more of a flow going. I really think the main difference is the turnovers. I'm not saying that going under center doesn't matter at all. And I think that they have been willing to do more different things than they have earlier in the year, like throwing over the middle, going under center. But I don't think those things were not in the offense. I think they just weren't comfortable running them. So Yeah, I mean, maybe later in the week we'll get more of an answer as to what happened with the players asking the coaches these things, but definitely an interesting little nugget there from Baldy. So speaking of the offense changing, Jalen Hurts was asked about, he was asked a couple questions. One about like how the offense has changed, and then the other kind of like the perception that the offense has changed. Like, what does he think about the idea that the offense is perceived to have changed? And he gave one of the more detailed answers. He's given good answers in his time here with the Eagles, but it was like over 2 minutes. I mean, he really kind of went in. So I want to play that for you guys. Here is what he had to say when asked about the offense changing.
Jalen, a lot is, at least on the surface, looks like the offense has changed significantly since the bye. You know, what involvement did you have in that, and what do you?
What looks different?
Well, you guys have been under center a little more. You've been doing a little more play action. Been running the ball more. You know, this last game you did a lot, the most motion you've ever done. So did you have any say in that? And you did mention pushing for certain things, and are we seeing the direct result of that now? Playing well.
Yeah, no, I think not directly. It's a constant navigation from everyone. And you know, everyone has a voice in that, you know, and the number one goal, I've told you my goals, and it doesn't really matter how it looks. It doesn't matter how it gets done. It's a matter of playing efficient ball and going out there and winning. And so we've been able to do that, you know, over the course of the tenure here and in a number of different ways. And so, you know, navigating what it's supposed to look like for this team this year, you know, that's always a challenge. It's something that's going to be presented naturally. But, you know, You seem to find it at some point throughout the year, with regardless who the coach is, regardless who's calling it in and who's out there. And so, the most important thing is finding that at the right time, and we just want to continue to progress.
So it was interesting to hear him kind of go through, you know, year by year. He said at one point, 2021. The results were fine. 2021, they were under center. 2022, you know, they switched things up. 2023, he felt they moved the ball well, other than the turnovers. 2024, they have moved the ball well, other than the turnovers. So my overall take from being at Jalen today, when he was asked a number of questions about the offense changing, was I think he views it as an evolution thing. I don't think he views it as there's a problem and they can't do something, so they're adding it. I think he views it as, okay, now we need to do this, or okay, now we're comfortable doing this. Like, he brings up Jahan Dotson dragging his foot, right? I think that's an example of how Jalen views, like, some of the changes they're doing are because of changes in personnel, changes in skill set, changes in what works. Now, is that true? Like, is it because, you know, the players are playing, or are players are improving, or is it because, you know, all of a sudden they're adding it in there? I think that they have not run these things in the past because not all the players are comfortable doing it. So maybe now they feel more comfortable doing it. Saquon was asked in the locker room about the difference between running under shotgun, from the shotgun as opposed to under center. And he said there is a difference, right? He said when you run under center, you get a better kind of ability to get ahead of steam and to get to the line. So I think it's a collection of different things, but it is interesting to hear Jalen talk about it. He brought up the play caller thing again about how he's had a number of different play callers. So I don't think Jalen likes the perception out there that he can't play under center. That's pretty clear listening to him talk. And I don't think he likes that the perception is he can't throw over the middle. Jalen, I think, does a good job of blocking out the media, but I also think he's very aware of what people say. And look, rightfully so, as a competitor, as a player, as a person, it's not fun to have people out there think you can't do things, right? So I think that he wanted to kind of try to squash that a little and saying that he couldn't go under center. Like, he mentioned he did it in college and had success. He mentioned that they did it in 2021. Like, I think Jalen thinks he can go under center. Like, why are they not doing it as much? I think it's probably built around Jalen and the other players' skill sets. But yeah, so I thought an interesting answer from him on that. So back to Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni was asked about Cam Jurgens, and it was a great question. I believe it was John McMullen. I apologize if it wasn't. Maybe it was Martin Frank. Both do a great job. But it was a good question because prior to the season and in training camp, me especially, talked so much about all the changes on the offensive line. And Cam Jurgens never played it, and he's going to have to replace Kelce. And what? How's he going to do? And he's been awesome. He has been really, really good this season. I can't think of a single game where he was a big problem or that you could tell he was struggling. Nick Sirianni was asked about that, about how Cam Jurgens has done. And here's what he had to say.
You know, I think that there were questions. There weren't questions on Cam being able to do that role because we got to see him play last year. You know, it wasn't like, I mean, that was a really unique thing that Cam was able to go through, of being Jason's backup for a year and then being playing alongside Jason and then, you know, taking Jason's spot when Jason retired. And so, like, I think we all expected Cam to do this because we've seen him play at a high level. And it was just, it's going to be a little different that he's playing a different position. But, yeah, no surprises on our end, and really pumped out Cam's playing, and you just got to keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I know he says that it wasn't a concern for them, and, you know, Cam had the ability to play next to Kelce, and that's a unique thing. And those are all really good points. But, of course, there had to be some concern. He'd never played the position. You're talking about going from one of, well, the best center in franchise history and one of the best centers to ever play the game to someone that's never done it. So, but it is an excellent point. Like, I think, and I'm sure I'm guilty of this too, that we have concerns about a player and then they start playing well and you never bring it up again just because they're playing well. Cam has been awesome this year, and he definitely deserves a ton of credit. Like, we focus on Mekhi Becton, I think sometimes because he was changing positions, much like Cam, to be honest, but it feels like Becton, because of the competition, and Tyler Steen, like, he gets talked about. Lane always gets credit. Mailata, with him going out, we talked about how well he's done. Cam, meanwhile, has just week after week after week played well. He gets out quickly to the edges, gets up the field to get second-level blocks. The middle of the line, I think, has been really good, from his perspective at least, in terms of protecting Jalen. So, yeah, Cam Jurgens has been awesome this year. And I think it's a really good thing that was pointed out, because it was a major concern going into the season. And now, you know, the Eagles can line up every week and feel like they have a really good center, if not one of the best centers in the NFL, frankly, on their team. Finally, big news, as we talked about on Tuesday, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and Jeffrey Lurie went golfing with former President Barack Obama. They were both Jalen and Saquon was asked about it. To be honest, unfortunately, I was too far away from Saquon to get any good audio on it. But let me play what Jalen had to say about golfing with Obama, and then I'll kind of summarize what the two had to say. So here's what Jalen had to say about his afternoon, not golfing, but hanging out with Obama.
Or being at the golf course with President Obama?
Yeah. Kind of like an uncle figure out there, President Obama. All-time leader, a great presence, I guess the word is down to earth. You know, I can only imagine that. That lifestyle and the different things that come with that. But nonetheless, to see him out there enjoying himself and, you know, talking a little trash, that was cool. I told him he didn't want these problems just yet. I told him I can't golf right now. It's just by contract, I can't golf. But his day will come.
Yeah, so I say not golfing because he can't golf. Apparently, it's in his contract that Jalen Hurts is not allowed to golf. He wouldn't say why. You have to think it maybe has to do with, like, the motion. I don't know. Like the swinging motion. I'm not a golfer, to be honest, but I would think for, like, shoulders maybe. Who knows? But not allowed to golf. But both him and Saquon, it was pretty clear, came away pretty blown away from hanging out with Barack Obama. And it's easy to see why. Like, Obama seems like an awesome guy. You can tell he's extremely charismatic. He's a big sports guy. Like, I'm sure Obama is a great hang. I don't think there's any question about that. But I thought what was interesting is they both talked about how they learned things from him and asked him questions about leadership and about how they wanted to use that opportunity to, you know, ask him about being a leader and how they can apply that to football. And, you know, I think on one hand, like, you look and go, what's the comparison between being a president and being an NFL quarterback and running back? And I get that. Like, it's probably, you know, easy to look and go, how can they use that advice? But what I think is really cool about it, and I think it really speaks to Jalen and Saquon's personalities, is they are definitely big time, like, always on. Like, I bet everywhere Saquon goes, he's trying to like pick up a little piece of information, or even if he's on vacation, he's probably working out every morning. Like, these are two extremely hard workers, and I think they're two extremely smart individuals, and you can tell they've gotten this far in their life for a number of reasons. Like, they're physically gifted, all those things. But there's a lot of people in the world that are physically gifted, maybe not built like Saquon, but there's probably a lot of people in the world built like Jalen Hurts, and he has gotten where he is at by working really hard, by taking advice from others. You know, I think it's very impressive. So to spend the afternoon with Barack Obama, and Saquon Barkley joked about how, you know, Obama was kind of talking trash. Jalen Hurts obviously joked about how he told Obama he was lucky that he didn't play golf because, you know, he would be good at it or whatever. Like, it just sounds like it was a productive afternoon for those two. And also, frankly, it's good for it's good for Jalen and Saquon to hang out and to have that time on the golf course. So, you know, wherever your politics may lie, I think it's a good thing for Jalen and Saquon that they got a chance to hang out with someone who has obviously been under a ton of pressure, has been in a position of leadership, and, you know, probably gave them good advice. I think Jalen and his leadership is something we've talked about a lot over the last calendar year. I think Jalen has been a better leader this year. You can hear it constantly from him, and we'll talk about it in a second about something else he said. But I think it's a positive that they got the chance to go do this. So, cool story for them, right? I mean, that's pretty cool to say you got to play golf with a former president. So let's get back to the Eagles and the Jaguars. On the other side, we are going to get into what I think is really maybe the only concerning aspect of this game, the Jaguars' defensive line against the Eagles' offensive line. It's really the only place the Jaguars have a ton of talent. So we'll get into it on the other side, but first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so as I said, I think that if you envision a world where the Eagles lose this game, first, it really starts, the only way the Eagles lose this game is if they play terribly. Like, I think they could play their C-plus game, and if they take care of the ball and don't have, like, disastrous plays, I think they still win the game. They're way better than the Jaguars. The Jaguars aren't playing well. The stats back that up. The record backs that up at 2-6. But one way where you could at least envision a world where there's a problem, it is the Jaguars' edges. Excuse me. It is the Jaguars' edges against the Eagles' tackles. Obviously, we know Lane, outstanding player. He'll be good no matter who lines up across from him. But Fred Johnson, now I will give Fred Johnson credit. He played really, really well, I thought, against the Bengals. So maybe with a few games under his belt, he's improving. Certainly could be the case. But the Jaguars' edges are one of the best duos in the NFL. So they have Trevon Walker, obviously was a number one overall pick, got off to a bit of a slow start in his career. But this year he has 29 combined hits, hurries, and sacks, which is 16th in the NFL among edges. So he's been really good. They have Josh Allen Hines, who has hyphenated his last name. I'll certainly respect the hyphen as someone that does that myself. 32 hurries this year, 32 hits, hurries, and sacks, I should say, which is ninth most in the NFL. And then they have Eric Armstead, a veteran player, but you know, still a good player. 12 hits, hurries, and sacks, and 190 pass rush snaps. So, look, that's a good trio. That is a trio I think that the other team should have to worry about. Obviously talking about the Eagles, but I mean each week, like, the opposing offensive line, I think, goes into that game knowing they can basically control the game by taking care of those edges. And look, despite having really good edges, the Jaguars defense has not been good. They're 29th in points. They are 30th in points per drive. They're 31st in net yard passing allowed. They're 25th in third down defense, and they're 28th in red zone defense. They also, for as good as their edges are, they have 17 sacks, which is fewer than the Eagles have. Now, the one thing they are good at is stopping the run. But the major issue here, or at least the major concern, is Trevon Walker and Josh Allen going out and changing this game. Now, their defensive tackles are not great. Devon Hamilton has only 3 hurries, and Jeremiah Ledbetter has 8 hurries. He's not very good at all. Hamilton is decent. Like, they're good against the run, as you can tell by their stats against the run. But this game will be decided in some ways by the Eagles' ability to handle the pressure along the edges. What's interesting about the Jaguars is they don't really blitz. They're dead last. When I say they're not, don't really blitz, they don't blitz. They are dead last in the NFL in blitz percentage, and they are also dead last in number of blitzes. So they don't bring extra pressure. So as good as Eagles have been against the blitz this year, which, man, is that a refreshing thing to say, it's not something they have to worry about this week. So quickly, because I was talking about how Jalen has become a better leader, Jalen, at the end of the press conference, as he normally does, wanted to talk about the Jaguars' defense, and I think he gave a more detailed breakdown of them than they normally do. So, really quickly, here's what Jalen Hurts had to say about the Jaguars' defense.
Yeah, we got one more question, John. And he asked me.
About the Jaguars' defense? What are your thoughts on the Jaguars' defense?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to. I mean, they got great edge rushers. They got a great front seven. They got really good edge rushers. So that'll be a big challenge. They got two really good linebackers up front. I know they rotate a good bit, but 23 and 33 playing against those guys. They bring a speed and physicality element, element of physicality to the game. And in the back end, I think that'll be a huge challenge for us as well because they're very sticky in coverage, very tight coverage. So we have to go out there and take advantage of, you know, try and win our one-on-ones. But hopefully it doesn't rain this time around.
Yeah, you know, great minds think alike. Kidding. Obviously, Jalen has a better football mind than me. But he is right. Like, they have those two edges. Like, that is where it starts and stops. We'll talk about their secondary later in the week. And I know he said they played tight coverage, but the stats certainly back up that they do not. This is going to start and stop with the Eagles' ability to handle Walker and Allen. I would imagine they will try to get after Fred Johnson. I know he was good last week, but it is still only one good performance and, you know, four or five games where he's appeared this year. So that's what it will come down to, the ability to stop the edges from wrecking the game, from forcing Jalen into making bad decisions, to getting their hands on the football in the pocket. That's what it'll come down to. So we will see how the Eagles try to handle this. I mean, one way to negate the pass rush is to run the ball. And with the Jaguars being good against the run, I don't think that should stop the Eagles from wanting to run it. The Eagles have a great offensive line. They have the best running back in the NFL. They should not be afraid to run the ball against anybody. But how they handle Walker and Allen, that'll be certainly the main thing to watch on Sunday. So that'll do it for today's Go Birds Daily. Thank you guys, everybody, for listening. As I said at the beginning, I hope you enjoy your Halloween. If you're somebody that is dressing up, even though you hate it, I give you a ton of credit. I hate dressing up. It is one of my biggest things I don't like doing. Like, obviously, when you're younger as a kid, you dress up. But as I was older and, you know, you go to Halloween parties as adults, like, just not my thing. I'm not big into dressing up. So everybody out there that's doing it because they're forced to, I feel for you. And don't worry. 24 hours from now, the day will be over and you will no longer be dressed up. So thank you guys, everybody, for listening. And as we always say, he's Elliot. I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.